Thank you. Good morning. Welcome. My name is Anna Franklin, a member of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. The image you see projected on the wall is of the ancient bighorn medicine wheel that still exists in Wyoming. This medicine wheel is our topic for the day, and its design is the model we will use to rebuild our UUFM medicine wheel. Please take a few moments to study the bighorn medicine wheel image on the wall so that you can visualize our future medicine wheel design when we make a brief visit to the site later in our service during the Story for All Ages. We welcome all with a warm heart and an open mind. Whatever your religious background or lack thereof, whatever your job or your past, race, gender, age, sexual orientation, or identity, you are welcome here. Whether you are able-bodied or physically challenged, you are welcome here. We have no required creed here. We believe in the liberal ideal that each person find her own path. And so I welcome you here on behalf of this congregation. If you're a visitor or new to attending here, you're welcome to stand and introduce yourself. Please wait for the mic if you want to.
Is it on? Yeah. Okay. Here's my. This is Pam Austin from Dallas, a friend of mine and Sabrina's, and also a brilliant oil painter.
Okay. Welcome, Pam. Anybody else? Okay. We invite visitors. Oh, sorry.
Inel Forrester. Lots of fun last weekend, celebrated family birthdays, and today is Brooke, our little great-granddaughter's fourth birthday. So pictures I got this morning, everybody with four fingers.
Okay. Thank you, Enel. So we invite visitors to sign the guest book if they want to at the front table in the narthex, and there's also a form to request a complimentary subscription to our newsletter, and our greeters will be available after the service to answer any questions you may have about our fellowship activities and programs. And of course, please join us for coffee and conversation immediately after the service. Before we begin the service, I'd like to draw your attention to the announcements printed in the order of service. And I also have several announcements to read to you. If I can remember them all. The first one would be we'll have a facility grounds work day on Saturday, June 14th, beginning at 9 a.m., ending around noon or so. We'd like to see a lot of people lending a hand. We'll have both indoor and outdoor work to do, and the more people that lend a hand, the more we can get done in the short time we've allotted. Everyone should bring gloves if they're planning to work outside. Someone will contact individuals if special tools or skills are needed. Point of contact for the workday is Sylvia Beeman. Do you want to say anything else about that, Sylvia? Did I miss anything? Also, I would like to announce that our Lost and Found table will be, this is the last Sunday that we'll have our Lost and Found table in the Narthex. So if you have lost anything or think you might have lost anything here, please find it there and take it away today. And also, if we could have a mic for Harriet. Harriet Yonke has an announcement.
Everybody here eats, and if you buy things from Dillon's, Ray's, or Hy-Vee, you know what benefits our UU budget if you get one of these cards, which costs you nothing except buying for the groceries that you're going to buy. Well, the Dillon's card does cost $5, and then you reload it at Dillon's, and you keep reloading it. But these other cards, you just give me a check for multiples of $50, and then it goes into the budget. And we get, what is it, 5%? 5%, I think it is.
Okay, so those are our announcements. And now, while Destiny and William come up to light the chalice, I'll read our opening words. Do you know how to do this? You've done it before? Okay, great. Okay, Spirit of the East, Spirit of air, of morning, and springtime, be with us as the sun rises in times of beginning, times of planting. Inspire us with a fresh breath of courage as we go forth into new adventures. Spirit of the South, Spirit of fire, of noontime and summer, be with us through the heat of the day and help us to be ever growing. Warm us with strength and energy for the work that awaits us. Spirit of the West, Spirit of water, of evening, of autumn, be with us as the sun sets and help us to enjoy a rich harvest. Flow through us with a cooling, healing quietness and bring us peace. Spirit of the North, Spirit of earth, of nighttime and winter, be with us in the darkness, in the time of gestation. Ground us in the wisdom of the changing seasons as we celebrate the spiraling journey of our lives. Please stand as you are able, and you will be led in a chant, "The Earth is Our Mother."
I don't know if everyone knows this, but a lot of you know this, and I'm going to just try to lead it with my drum, and I'm going to walk around a little bit, or maybe I should stay here by the mic. Anyway, we'll start out. It's got five verses, and it's pretty simple. It goes, "The earth is our mother. We must take care of her. The earth is our mother.
That was beautiful, Pat. Thank you so much. Now I'd like to invite you to share any major events in your life so that we all may share your joys and concerns. Just raise your hand and wait for the microphone.
I'm behind you. I'll give it to you next. Gail Conrad, I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for 14 wonderful years of membership. As you may know, my husband is retiring this week, and on Wednesday we are moving to Bar Harbor, Maine.
Wow.
We hope. There's still an awful lot of stuff that has to be packed between now and then. But if any of you ever come to visit Mount Desert Island, please look us up. I will leave my address, and it's the same old email that I've always had, and we would love to see you. And so thank you all very much, and I'll be thinking of you. There is a UU congregation in Ellsworth, and I'm sure I can find it. Thank you.
Bryce Hobrock. I wanted to report that David and Melissa McKee stopped by. Some of you will remember them. Stopped by on Wednesday at the men's group just to see what was happening here and to leave a donation for the sign or whatever, the billboard. David is a physicist and went to the Batavia National Accelerator Lab in Illinois about a year ago. The good news and the reason for this is that he now has a full-time job in Joplin, Missouri, Missouri Southern State University, a tenure-track job, and they are very pleased, and I think we all needed to know that.
Thank you, Bryce.
Okay, I'm Sabrina Boker. You guys might notice I've been gone for a few weeks. For two of the weeks, my dog, he had a twist in his stomach, so he had to have surgery and all that, so I spent about 2 weeks making sure he didn't, lick the wound and all that, so he had to wear the collar of shame for a little while. But he's completely healed up now, and he's doing good.
Okay. I'm Sylvia Beeman, and I know a lot of people have been disgusted by the humongous dump truck load of wood chips that were blocking the parking lot. And so this past week, I want to thank Elka Lorenz and John Extel and Ken Embers for helping move it. And yesterday afternoon when I thought I couldn't lift another shovel, I called my house to beg my husband to come help me for just 1 hour. But my daughter, who hadn't been home for ages, Chloe, was there with her enormous boyfriend. And they came and helped me and gave me a second wind. So there's still a little left to do on work day.
Hi, everybody. Molly McGoy. I had a family celebration over Memorial Day weekend. I don't talk about my uncle often because I don't honestly know him very well, but my dad was a twin, and his identical twin brother joined the military when he was very young and retired as a two-star general. And he came back to their small hometown of Inman on Monday and spoke at the Inman Cemetery where my dad is buried and gave a thanks to all the veterans in attendance and the community and everything. And then after that, they went to the new city park that they have in community building, and they named the park after my uncle. It is now Lambert Park. And so it was a very exciting day for us, and I was glad Nick got to be there and see it all.
Okay. Any other joys or concerns? Thank you for sharing your important moments with us, and we honor those joys and concerns that remain unspoken. Okay. Now Pat will lead us in the story for all ages. Pat?
Well, we're not quite ready. Can I just hold you back just a little bit so I can explain what we're going to do? Because this is a new thing that we're doing, and then you kids can take a rattle as soon as I'm finished. What we're going to do is We're going to go out to the Medicine Wheel site, which is cleaned off Sylvia and all those that helped both last fall and this week. I really, really thank you so much, and it looks great. We're going to go out. We're going to go out this door. I'm going to take the kids out this door, and the front half can follow the kids. And then the back half of the room can go out the kitchen door. And Dick, do you want to lead them out that door? And I will lead them out this door. And Anna, if you want to kind of help with that, kind of in between. And those of us, like Dick and Anna and I, will have a drum. We're going to drum and go out. But the kids are all going to have one of these rattles. I want to hear lots of rattles. Rattles are really great. Rattles, you know, the drum is considered the drum beat, the heartbeat. The rattles in the most native cultures is considered the spirit. So it just feels good to have all of those rattles going. And then we're going to go out, and I'd like this to be kind of like a dance. You don't have to dance. But if we can go out in two lines, like you would in a like in a powwow where they go, you know, and dance around, we're going to dance out to the medicine wheel, and the kids are going to go in the center of the medicine wheel with me. You're going to follow me. The adults are going to stand around the medicine wheel, up the steps or wherever, to get a good view of everything and see everything. And then I'm going to lead the kids in, hopefully, a design. We're going to walk single file through the medicine wheel. We'll make the big circle, then we'll go make the small circle, and we'll kind of crisscross. Maybe we won't get 28 spokes in there, but we will crisscross like there will be spokes there. And then we'll make those six little, what they call cairns, which are these rock circles around the wheel. And then we will be done. And we will sing the kids. If you want to take your programs with the words, or if you know it by heart, just kind of stick it in your pocket. Because after they're done, we're going to sing the kids to RE so that they can go to RE. And I'm going to ask the kids if, when you're finished, there's this basket, which is going to be out there. Just one second. When you're finished with the with the dance with me, and you have your rattles, before you go to RE, stick them in that basket, okay? And Ken, you're going to take the basket out because we're going to have our drums and everything, the rest of us. So, okay.
You might mention the people who don't want to go.
Oh, yes, thank you. Those that are not wanting to go outside, you don't have to. Doug is going to play some meditation music that Dick picked out, and you can stay here and listen to really nice Indian meditation music. Is there anything else I need to say? Oh, there's also some bug spray and bug lotion. If you don't already have it, I have some up here too, so you can get that. Anything else? Okay, the kids get the rattles and come over here behind me.
Of joy in that. Beautiful. Pat Embers will now present her talk, Big Horn Comes to UUFM. Pat has been involved with the building and caretaking of our medicine wheel on the UUFM grounds for over 20 years. She told me she feels it is a time for a renewing and transformation of the wheel. Pat will explain to us how this is already happening and how it is being visualized as an earth-centered and cultural way of learning and participation for us all here at UUFM. Pat?
Thank you. I'm going to make just a couple words of introduction and what I'm doing here, and then I'll work with Doug on showing this medicine wheel. And I might need the hand mic. Is that up here? No? Okay, well, I'll try to use this one. But I do need that. Yeah, I can use it from here. Okay, great. Okay, well, I went to this website called the Stanford, it's a Stanford University website, and they have a solar center that they had compiled and researched a lot of what has happened with the wheel in terms of the ancient knowledge as well as some of the research that has gone on and the actual digging and so forth. So I'm going to use this website as kind of the way of putting it all together because I have a stack about this high of papers that I've collected. I've been on this theme really for a long time, like decades it seems, and I've really, Ken and I and Sheila have visited this wheel when she was like 10 years old and really meant a lot to us, especially to me. So I think it's time now to transform what we had, which was Sun Bear's medicine wheel, which I had learned also in the 1980s, and had really, and that's what I have in my own yard. And we did a lot of things with that, but not in the past couple years. So I thought maybe this would be something that we could learn from and participate more in. So, first of all, I would like to know, if you could raise your hand, how many people have been to the Bighorn Medicine Wheel? Would you raise your hand, please? Okay, just a couple of us. All right. Well, you're going to see this, and then we're going to take some of these pictures, and there's one video or whatever it's called that will help us see where it's at, actually, in the mountain, the Medicine Mountain Range in Bighorn, Wyoming. Okay. Could you put on the website? Okay. And you can move it down the page till where it says just that first paragraph. Just scroll down a little bit. Yeah, stop right there. And I'm going to partly read this, and then we're going to show what links that work. Not all of them work with what we have this morning, and try to explain a little bit about it. So you can kind of read with me. On top of the Bighorn Range in Wyoming, a desolate 9,642 feet high and only reachable during the warm summer months, lies an ancient Native American construction, an 80-foot diameter wheel-like pattern made of stones. At the center of the circle is a donut-shaped pile of stones, a cairn, connected to the rim by 28 spoke-like lines of stones. Six more stone cairns are arranged around the circle, most large enough to hold a sitting human. The central cairn is about 12 feet in diameter and 2 feet high. And I want to say at this point that in the research that I have done, and I have done quite a bit, I also learned that they have discovered that there were actually huts or little covered places over these cairns where people would sit for prayer or their vision quest or whatever they did, and those are no longer here. And there's not a whole lot on that, so I think that's still being researched, but they did have some research on that. Okay, would you please do the format? This is a 3D tour of the Medicine Wheel area on Medicine Mountain in Wyoming, and just watch and see what it does. It's only about a minute or so. This is that 9,640 feet high mountain. that you walk up to. Although I think they do have a way for people with handicaps to get up there by car. And that's what it looks like when you get at the top. It has a fence around it now and is protected, and it's owned by the, I think it's the U.S. Forestry Department or the Historical Department, National Historic Preservation Department. Okay, now let's go down to the next section. And there you can see some more pictures of the wheel, and I think that one is one of the cairns there, and there that might be the central cairn in the center of the wheel. And so it says, if you stand or sit at one cairn looking towards another, you will be pointed to certain places on the distant horizon. These points indicate where the sun rises or sets on summer solstice and where certain important stars rise, and I don't know if I say this word, but heliacally. It means something related to the sun. That is, first rise at dawn after being behind the sun, and I'll go into that a little bit later. The dawn stars helped foretell when the sun ceremonial days would be coming. The area is free of snow only for 2 months around the summer solstice. So otherwise, it's all snow. And I think Indians still went up there, but not many of us have gone up there other than the summer. The wheel has 28 spokes, the number used in the roofs of the ceremonial buildings, such as the Lakota Sundance Lodge, and they felt that this was also used as both Sundance grounds and Vision Quest grounds. These always include an entrance to the east facing the rising sun and include 28 rafters for the 20 or spokes for the 28 days in the lunar cycle. The number 28 is sacred to some of the Indian tribes because of its significance as the lunar month. In Bighorn's case, could the special number 28 also refer to the heliacal or dawn rising of the stars Regal, 28 days past the solstice, and Sirius, another 28 past that? And I'll go into that a little bit more later. And there you see, if you go down one picture, you'll see that many people do make their prayers and put prayer ties up there on the fence. I think both Indian and non-Indian do that. And then the construction of the wheel, we'll go a little bit further down. The wheel was constructed by Plains Indians between 300 and 800 years ago and has been used and maintained by various groups since then. The central cairn is the oldest part, with the excavations showing it extends below the wheel and has been buried by wind-blown dust. It may have supported a central pole. The star alignments are most accurate for around 1200 AD, since slight changes in the Earth's orbit have caused perturbations since. The solstice alignments remain accurate today. The Bighorn Wheel is part of a much larger complex of interrelated archaeological sites that represent 7,000 years of Native American adaptation to and use of the alpine landscape that surrounds Medicine Mountain. Numerous contemporary American Indian traditional use ceremonial staging areas, medicine and ceremonial plant gathering areas, sweat lodge sites, altars, offering locales, and fasting or Vision Quest enclosures can be found nearby. Ethnohistoric, ethnographic, and archaeological evidence demonstrates that the Medicine Wheel and the surrounding landscape reconstitutes one of the most important and well-preserved ancient Native American sacred site complexes in North America. Between 70 and 150 wheels have been identified in South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. And I'm going to keep us at this place and go to another. Where's all my stuff? Here. This is how much stuff I've collected over the years. And I just found this website, which I'm really glad because I didn't know how I was going to present it with all the paper articles. But there's two parts in this paper article that I have, and one of them is about the ancient geology of Medicine Mountain, and I think this is really significant. There are 10 places in the world. Could you put a picture of the medicine wheel up there, maybe from the very top of that website? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. There are 10 places in the world called nuclei of continents. These are widely separated places of relatively small patches of ancient rocks first cooled to the molten Earth's crust 2 to 3 billion years old. Overlying younger rock has worn away. They separated, then, huge single island of this kind of rock, this billion-year-old rock, separated parts of it, drifting on continental plates of ancient rock bed into our present continents, sometime between 65 million and about 1 million years ago. And the continental plates continue to drift. Medicine Mountain is one of these rare ancient continental routes. The medicine wheel looks from the shoulder of the most ancient times down, surrounding precipices that give it nearly a 360-degree horizon view, to slopes that get progressively more modern in merely the last million to few hundred thousand years. Thus, the medicine wheel floats on a high island of time, the world's oldest rocks layered in reverse order of the epochs of geological history. There are other continental routes in the world in different places, and that includes in the Canadian Shield, in South America, in Central Europe, in India, in Guinea, Tanganyika, and Rhodesian highlands in Africa, and southwestern Australia. In none of these other continental root nuclei is there a neat folding and wearing of the rock layers in an ordered set, peaking by age, such as is found in the Bighorns. Medicine Mountain is a very special place where the whole geological history of the Earth is layered, with the most ancient rocks of all on the peaks, layered through time downhill to the modern valleys where people live. Perhaps this was felt somehow to those who built the wheel there many centuries ago. And there's other pictures that show that layering, but it is quite a significant type of layering. Okay, we can go back down now, please, to I want to thank Doug for really helping me with this, get this together. And we'll go down to where the diagram is, Dr. Eddy's diagram. Is that in the next page? Doesn't it go any further? That's not it. There it is. There it is. Okay, right there where it says astronomical alignments. Yeah. Okay, in 1974, an archaeoastronomer named Jack Eddy visited this medicine wheel and studied its alignments, that is, its arrangements of rocks, cairns, and spokes. He found the arrangements point to the rising and setting places of the sun at summer solstice, as well as the rising places of Aldebaran stars in Taurus, Regal in Orion, and Sirius in Canis Major, all bright, important stars associated with the solstice. Later, another astronomer, Jack Robinson, found a cairn pair that marked the bright star Formalhaut, its rising point with the sun, 28 days before the solstice. Okay, I'm going to now try to, with my laser pointer, describe this wheel a little bit in this diagram as to how it was put together by Dr. Eddy. And I'll have to please bear with me a little bit while I try to coordinate this. I'll start reading at the top where it says, sighting from Cairn E, which is this one, through the center hub, which may have supported a pole, marks the summer solstice sunrise. Sighting through Cairn C, which is, I think this one, yeah, goes over sighting to the summer solstice sunset. And standing at Cairn F, which is here, one could sight the once yearly dawn of heliacal stars, the rising of the one called Aldebaran, Regal, and I'm sorry, this is, okay, from F, I'm not sure I can do this, but anyway, there's 3 points here that represent where those 3 stars are. And then I think we covered all of them. And later I'm going to tell you a little bit more about those stars, but that's where they go across, and that the sunrise and the sunset for the summer solstice is drawn there. The dawn of heliacal rising of a star is important because it pinpoints a date exactly. This is the day a star is first seen, just before dawn, after it has been behind the sun for an entire season. From about 1200 AD to 1700 AD, these 4 stars would have acted as a solstice marker for the Native Americans. Formalhaut would rise 28 days before the summer solstice. Aldebaran would rise during the 2 days just before the solstice. Regal would rise 28 days after the solstice, and Sirius 28 days after that, at the end of August, and hence marking the end of summer and time to leave the mountain. So they did all of this in the summer, and they really calculated their harvests and a lot of things by that. Okay, I think we're going to, you can go down, but I think I'm going to skip the next section because we're getting a little low on time. I want to tell you a little bit, let's see, what picture would be good for this? Could you go back up to the picture of the medicine wheel about that? No, the one down, yeah, that one right there. Okay, now we have a there is a video on here, but we aren't set up with the technology to show it. And it views the heliacal dawn risings of the 3 stars that I mentioned. And they're specific to certain dates. And what they do is right before dawn, like the star of Aldebaran, I think is first, and it's still dark out here, and then as it starts getting light at a certain point, that Aldebaran star is seen on the horizon. and it rises, but then, sorry, there's a fly that lives up here every Sunday. I see this fly. As it rises, then the dawn is getting brighter, and it disappears. You don't see it anymore. So it's called a blink. They have that term for it in here, that this blink of a star comes up just before dawn, when it's starting to get light, and goes up there. And that's on a specific day, and that it's before the summer solstice. I think that's the one that's 28 days ahead of time. And then there's another star, the... not Sirius, but the other one, the Regal one, and that also comes in, and that's a little bit before. And then the third star is the Sirius, and that comes, that actually, by the time that one comes, it's 28, it's two months, like 28 days of 28 days later. So they calculate that to mark the dates, and I don't know exactly what they do with the summer solstice stones that go for the sunrise and the sunset. It seems like that would be marked in some way, but this is pretty beginning stuff for us really understanding, and for me especially, even though I've looked at it a lot. And I've talked to Larry about this, Larry Weaver, and he is gone today, but he has read this material, and he said that it wasn't conclusive, all these notes that I had. He didn't see this website yet. But he didn't think it was crazy. Meaning, a scientist is saying they're kind of interested in what's going on here. So, and it is, you know, really needing a lot of research. So I would like to go on now to the part about what the Indians have done more. And I think if you keep going down, I don't know if we did this website to practice it. Oh, I know. I'm sorry, Doug. It's at the very top, and you press on, go clear to the top of the heading. You press on that, and let's see if we get something there. Does it open? We forgot to check this one out. It may not. This gives a lot of the things that the Native Americans did with this wheel. And I can just, is that it? Yeah, that's it. That's it. Great. All right. Okay. The Bighorn Medicine Wheel remains a part of Native American ritual life even today. About 60 tribes visit the site annually and conduct some 180 sacred ceremonies there. While Bighorn is the largest and most elaborate medicine wheel known, dozens of similar structures lie scattered throughout the Western Canada and U.S. And I'm not going to read these, but I just, if you go down a little bit, you'll see that they're also pointing. This is, the Bighorn medicine wheel is kind of on the same level of significance as the Chaco Canyon and the Cahokia Mounds. And then I couldn't get this one at home to work, this Native Views from NASA, but it just didn't come up. But they have done work on this too. And then they give a little bit about the Sundance. These sites are really neat, and we're not going to open them, but the Sundance site and the, can you go up just a little bit? I guess that's the Cahokia. Okay, go down again. And then they get into the oral traditions. Let's see if I had anything on that I wanted to. Just what we had said about the Sundance. And I'm not going to go into any more about the Cahokian and the other ones. But I don't know if I have this written down. And if we didn't try this, go down. Can you? I forgot to test this with you, Doug. But can you go to Black Elk and see if that will open? Oh, good. Okay. Now go down to where it says trees. Is that it? Okay. And I don't have that copied. So I don't know if I can read that. I can't really. Well, I thought these were just really incredible sayings of Black Elk. And what one of the ones that I really like, if you can read it, is that second one, where he actually talks to the tree. And I can't read it from here. But if you can read that second one, you can kind of get a feeling of the fact that he's, you know, really talking to the tree. And that's one of the things in our spiritual ecology class that we read about. I mean, it's not the only thing, but just our communication, our at least acknowledgement and kind of vibing with or in somehow receiving energy and giving energy to our non-human species and friends here on Earth, which the Native Americans were, that's what they did a lot. That was, you know, very special to them, all these living beings, including the stones and the ones that they communicated with and lived with, because that was their life, really. So Black Elk has wonderful sayings here about the trees and others, and there's a lot of other things that are on that website. Okay, actually, I think that pretty much concludes. If you could maybe put the picture of the medicine wheel or something on there, that yeah. And I would like to say that at some point soon, we are going to get something organized. And I know there's a work day coming up on June 14th. That might be a time to try to organize getting this started to put up. I want to thank Heather Mingo and some others that have offered stones, Dora, and different ones have offered stones to use in the medicine wheel or to go find stones at the river. And I have checked that out, and there are stones and so forth around. And some of you also may have stones that you can see. We're going to need a lot of stones. And most of them are small stones. Well, the cairns have the bigger stones, and the other ones, you know, go out and are smaller. And again, I want to thank Sylvia and the ones that really helped with the medicine wheel clearing and putting of those the wood chips and everything. And I think it's going to look really great out there, even though our space is quite a bit smaller than this. So that will happen soon, and we will let you know, and you can ask me, you know, about anything else on it. Okay, do we have any questions or comments? Yes. Oh, okay.
When were you there, and what did you feel when you were there?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, because I was there at least 15 years ago. Maybe it was longer. And there's a story I wanted to say about that, and that is that when I went, it was kind of a cloudy, almost rainy day, and when we started up the medicine wheel at the bottom to walk up, in fact, when we were driving up, I noticed this cloud in the sky that I thought started to look like a buffalo. And so we started walking up the hill, and I kept turning around to look, and that cloud was forming. And by the time we got to the top of the medicine wheel, it was a white buffalo cloud. I mean, the whole animal. And I was pretty blown away. And I actually, that was in the days when I had a 35-millimeter camera. I don't know exactly where the picture is. I'm going to find it. But we didn't have a lot of time to get this program together, and I didn't get a lot of things done. But anyway, that was my experience that really sunk in, and I think really made a difference in a lot of my interest in these things. Anybody else?
Ann Cowan here. Have historians or scientists, whatever, found any connection between these circles and the many circles that exist in England, France, and Spain, which are also ceremonial?
Yes, and there is much more information on so-called medicine wheels, because not all of them are called medicine wheels, like Stonehenge and all of the circular ceremonial sites, really, all over the world. And I, as far as in one of these articles I have, there is some research done or something said. I think even on this website here, which was put together in, I think, 2008, there's something about mentioning what medicine wheels are and how there are ones around the world. But that's a good question and needs to be looked at more.
Okay, my question is, the one we're going to have here, is it going to be aligned to anything, or are you just going to just make it, or?
Who's talking? I can't.
Sabrina.
Sabrina, thank you. Okay, what did you say?
Are you going to make it so it's aligned to the sun and all that?
With the Karens and stuff?
Yeah.
That remains to be seen. We have a shady area out there, and I'm going to, I mean, this is the very beginning of, you know, you're seeing what's here, and I'm, of course, going to be talking to Larry Moore, and who's our astronomer here, and just see what can be done on that. But, yeah, we would like to do some research on getting that lined up. Others? We need a mic so it gets to everybody.
I was just going to say the summer solstice is coming up very soon. So if someone could, I mean, I don't know how you would look it up otherwise, but if you got a compass and noted on the horizon where the sun rises, then
definitely
and sets, then you'll have the information you need.
That's exactly right. And that's mentioned in here that it's really simple to find that, you know, by going out there. And I would like to do that. And, it, you know, it'd be nice if it were actually constructed by that time, but even if it's not, we can go out and see.
Yeah, you'll have the settings that you
yeah,
can use.
Yeah, where it is. Thank you, Jan, for bringing that up, because, yeah, that's something that I would like to be out there for, both sunrise and sunset, and to mark that. Yeah. Anything else?
Diane Barker. I'd like to try to say something about the cultural significance. And when I was at the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, the lodge leader in a sweat lodge, when he started us, you know, we're in this tiny sweat lodge. It was just very small compared to ones I've seen, and they just had blankets over it. It was very humble. And this leader said, "We only have a culture because we follow this protocol. I'm going to tell you the protocol that we will follow in this lodge." And he said it again, "We only have a culture because we follow this protocol. We start in the east, where the sun rises. That's where you're born." He divided the teepee, the hut, the Anipi lodge, into four quadrants, very much like, you know, this is traditional wheels and seeing. You know, when we did, wasn't it about last year that we did the indigenous clock and we talked a little bit about this? That he said, you start with the east, you're born, your mother teaches you how to be a human being. Your mother teaches you everything about how to live. Then you go to adolescence. Then you go to middle age. Then you go to facing death and completing the circle. So you go through this whole big wheel, and he said, whichever quadrant you're sitting in, if you're in the beginning one, your prayers should be about how you're starting your life. When you're in the adolescent one, your prayers are about, but they build on what was said before. He said, you listen to everyone who speaks. So as we go around the wheel, you build on what those other people said. And so whenever I see a wheel, I always think of that view of our lives as how we all start the same way and end the same way. And it's kind of like a code for waking up as you go through each of those stages.
Thank you, Diane. Yes, there's so much good. Not just research, but just, you know, the oral traditions and the cultural life of this kind of wheel. And then all the small ones, like that little humble sweat lodge that, you know, is not going to be there more than a few days. And But so much can be done at that time, and it's really represented ceremonially. Okay, we need 1 minute or so for closing words. Is there anybody that has anything they need? Okay, then we'll go to that.
Thank you, Pat. So please turn to reading number 520 at the back of the hymnal. And we'll read this alternately. O our mother, the earth, O our father, the sky, then weave for us a garment of brightness. May the fringes be the falling rain. Thus weave for us a garment of brightness, that we may walk fittingly where grass is green. Thank you. Please join us afterwards for coffee and conversation, and also for the farewell, the bon voyage luncheon that's being served. Thank you.